Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books North Glenstone. Wonderful, wonderful people there. Gabriel Nadalis, he is our Author of the Week. Behind the Mask, My Time as an Antifa Activist. I want to thank you so much for being with us this morning. As I mentioned, well, why don't you, if you actually just give folks a little bit of your background and how it is that you went from a young immigrant to being behind the mask as somebody, you were there, you were embedded in one of Antifa.
Hi, thank you for having me. So, you know, I'm a Mexican immigrant. I came to this country when I was 9 years old, around 2002. And, you know, that was a big culture shock for me. I definitely found it, the culture here is incredibly different from America. Unfortunately, I started watching a lot of Univision and Telemundo. And, you know, I always say that a lot of people think that CNN is biased, but they have no idea what's going on in the Spanish networks because their media strategy is to make Hispanics feel marginalized, and they make it seem like the networks themselves are the only ones out there to really fight for the Hispanic voice. But not only that, I also grew up a lot of in the California public education system, which indoctrinates students into hating America and making it seem like white people are really their enemy and they should apologize for things, you know. So after constant berating from like a lot of these two different sources, by the time I was around 16, 17, I was already a liberal activist. And it didn't take that much further to really jump into like the anti-fascist movement because I was already preconditioned to believe that America was my enemy.
I'm really glad to have you articulate that because it is almost a cliche that the conversation that we have about how the public schools are, you know, try to turn kids against this country, indoctrinate the kids into believing police are racist and that wanting America to be great is awful. I mean, right here in Springfield, the school district is currently forcing teachers to go through that very indoctrination that you went through as a student in California. And I think people hear it, but they don't understand that it is not only a real thing that is occurring, but what the motivation, what the goal is, and what the outcome is, and we do see it oftentimes, and the product at some of these different protests, and you know, they wonder, where are these young people coming from? Yeah, these they're supposed to start out as like a Black Lives Matter event. All of a sudden, you see these high school age or college age students that are part of it, and it's just this hatred towards America, and of course, we've got Antifa. If you would now talk to us a little bit about your transition, if you will, or how you got into Antifa and being in Antifa was like. You know, you listen to Joe Biden, he claims it's not even an organization, that it's just an idea. That's what he said during one of the debates, that it's not really an organization. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of this theoretical idea. It doesn't actually exist. So tell us about it, if you would.
So the best way to understand Antifa, before I really tell you how I got involved, is to see it as a movement. And within this movement, there are several different radical left-wing groups. Some of them use the name of Antifa, but many don't. For example, there's Rose City Antifa, Philly Antifa, and Rocky Mountain Antifa. But there's other groups like Redneck Revolt or the 161 Crew, which we saw in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, one of the members of which actually knocked out the conservative organizer's teeth. It's very elusive because as itself, the name Antifa is more of a banner for all these left-wing groups to organize under. That being said, I remember the first time I put on the black mask was in 2011. And I did it to fight against the National Socialist Movement, which is a neo-Nazi group. It's definitely not a nice group. But, I mean, I attended this rally thinking that Antifa was only there to fight, like, the KKK and neo-Nazis. But as soon as I got there, I met a lot of different activists who invited me to more and more events. And that's kind of when I started to realize that it wasn't really just about fighting, like, the actual fascists, but anybody who dared to support American society.
A lot of people see Antifa as being fascist, and they you know, see fascism as essentially wanting ultimate control, telling people what they can and can't believe, and utilizing violence in order to compel people to be part of their belief system. And so they see Antifa and they envision Antifa is they know that they're actually fascist. But they are using the anti-fascist message as one to trick people into thinking they're against fascism as a way to get people into the fold of fascism. Did you find that that was the case, or did you find that it's filled with people that in their minds they really are anti-fascist and they think that they're fighting against fascism?
Well, of course they're fighting against quote-unquote fascism, but then when you ask them, what is fascism, instead of telling you, like, oh, you know, like neo-Nazis or KKK, they say, well, the root of fascism is capitalism and free speech. And they try to expand the definition of fascism to mean anything and anyone who is not in the far radical left like they are. I mean, there is ideological diversity among the radical left, but it's just different shades of red. At the end of the day, they're willing to tolerate a socialist versus a communist versus an anarchist. But as soon as you start asking questions about, like, the free market, you also become a fascist and the enemy.
Our author of the week, Gabriel Nadales, the book Behind the Black Mask, My Time as an Antifa Activist. And we're talking about how, of course, as a nine-year-old, he came here to the States and a combination of Telemundo and the public school systems indoctrinating him to hate the country. He becomes a left-wing activist. You get into Antifa. Is this something that organically happens? Is it something that you get quote-unquote invited to? How does that occur?
To be part of Antifa? I mean, there's a few different ways to do it. I mean, because, again, there's so many different groups. I know that there's the way you, back in the day, when it wasn't as a big of a notion, the best way to join, like, the anti-fascist movement was just to join one of the events or one of the rallies that they kind of did, be part of the Black Bloc, and meet people there. And then you just kind of get invited because you meet them. And, you know, it wasn't a big secret because they weren't as big of a threat as they are today. That being said, I mean, everything that I see or going around the country, specifically in places like New York and Minnesota and like Washington and Oregon, it is far more organized than anything that I have ever seen. Mm. And in fact, in 2013, about 2 years after like I had been in the movement, there's nine different Antifa groups around the country which formed something known as the Torch Network. The Torch Anti-Fascist Network is actually this big network of different Antifa groups, and they actually have an annual conference in 2013 in which they send delegates. That's not something that I was ever privy to because it's a little bit after my time, but they're becoming much more organized. And I mean, it's interesting because at they have a 2-day conference, and the first day conference, they only have people who are main members of the network. And then on the second conference, it is not open to the public, but it is open to all the other Antifa groups that are part of the, that are not really part of the network, but share the values. But everything is kept secret. So it's just
I think most of our listeners recognize that Antifa has some element of organization to it, but I imagine most also are surprised at how structurally organized it is, where there are annual events, there are delegates, there are different, I mean, it almost sounds as if it is a government entity in its structure.
Yeah, so the way Antifa organizes, a lot of people make this mistake thinking that Antifa has absolutely no leadership. They call it like a quote-unquote horizontal leadership, where no one is above another one. But that, while there is no official leadership, it's naive to think that there are no leaders, because there's the way you really become a leader in Antifa is to be in the movement for a long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people who are in the streets, you see in the streets, actually cycle out after about a year or two, and then they kind of, you know, they do their own thing. Then there's some organizers who are in the movement for 10, 15, 20 years. And now those are the people that you really have to look out for, because they're the ones who have been in the front lines, and now they're organizing all of these different things. Those are more dangerous people than just people you see on the street every day.
I mean, we laughed about it in the opening, but as you described just how organized it is with conferences and delegates, Joe Biden, again, claiming that Antifa doesn't actually exist, it's just an idea, it's just even more absurd. Now, I want to ask, what happened? Average people, they see people who are in Antifa, and they think, well, it's lost cause. those people are so incredibly radical. There's no reaching them. There's no point in trying to reach them. But here you, obviously, something occurred with you that awakened you and got you out of that. What was that? What happened? What was that transition like?
You know, when I was part of the movement, it was in my last 2 years of high school. And I remember that in my senior year, I was introduced to Milton Friedman and Thomas Sowell. Mm. Now, I think that they're great economic minds now, but at the time, I didn't like them. As a matter of fact, I disagreed with them very much. But I found them really interesting, so I wanted to debate them with my friends. Well, who were my friends? Mm. Other members of the anti-fascist movement. Well, you know, I always say that for being an anarchist, that was the very first time that I was called a capitalist pig. Because as soon as I started asking questions, all of a sudden I became the enemy, I became the fascist. And I slowly started transitioning away as I started trying to figure out like what the free market was and like trying to disprove it, really, because I started reading a lot more left-wing books and talking to more people. But instead of finding people who were trying to search for truth, they were just trying to quash any dissent. Yeah. And I mean, it's actually kind of interesting that you mentioned Joe Biden again, because the narrative has actually been changing over the last 6 months. Because if most people can remember in 2015 when Antifa first entered the national stage, and so many people on the left claimed that they were the good guys. Specifically, CNN's Camel Bell interviewed members of the Redneck Revolt anti-fascist group, and among them was Willem Van Sprozen. And he said, oh, these are the good guys. Well, a few months later, he actually bombed an ICE facility in Washington.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because even though that happened, they just kept saying, like, oh, no, they're good, until the last 5 months in which Antifa truly showed what it's made of. And now that became a problem for Joe Biden. So now their narrative is it's not the good guys. It changed to they don't even exist, because that hurts Joe Biden's election campaign.
Yeah, I remember specifically this narrative that was real big for a period of time, and it was after South Carolina, where they were saying anyone who's against Nazis are heroes. That's how they were labeling Antifa. Anyone who's against a Nazi must be good. And there were even some Republicans that were echoing that, and I was thinking, man, you guys have no idea what you're talking about here. Who introduced you to the Milton Friedmans and so forth? How did that happen?
So it's actually really interesting because my economics teacher was conservative. And I mean, he wasn't really open about being conservative. Mm-hmm. But I remember a couple of times that he actually pulled me aside and he, he would listen to my arguments. And OK, I'll tell you something, like I actually back in 2012, there was this conspiracy theory that the government, President Obama, was going to introduce martial law and like the NDAA, you know, the National Authorization Act, whatever. And I was really like fearful of that. Well, he actually pulled me aside and kind of like, he started showing me like to check my sources. And you know, he didn't introduce me directly into Milton Friedman, but he gave me the opportunity to always check the source of what people are saying. So he introduced me specifically to the free market, but I decided, okay, well, I should check the sources of like what the free market comes from. And that's how I found Milton Friedman and Thomas Sowell. Literally just by starting to check my sources instead of just believing everything that's out there.
Isn't it amazing what being open-minded does?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of insane because, I mean, he was just trying to quash that like little conspiracy theory, but he had a major impact on my life that was it's just amazing.
So what message do you have for folks about all of this and Antifa's place in this society, what can be done about it? What do you want people to walk away with after they read your book?
You know something, Antifa is a dangerous organization, but the way we fight dangerous organizations is not to fight them head on. Because when you fight something head on, oftentimes the people that you're fighting, they become martyrs. And it's actually a self-defeating thing because Antifa actually believes that with enough punches, they can shut down the far-right speech, even though oftentimes their target is not far-right speech. But every time that they shut down an event, conservative event, the people they're shutting down, they're not going away. They actually feel very resentful and they're apt for radicalization. And now let's give Antifa like the benefit of the doubt for a second. Let's say that they're actually fighting real fascists out there in the world. Well, they're not just going to go away. if they continue to do that, we're going to see escalation, and there's going to be a growth of extremist movements of both sides as they keep fighting against one another. Antifa is just about destruction, and we should not support it. The crux of my book is really to get people to understand that the best way to fight against extremist movements is through understanding them, to really try to talk to people in them and pull them away from those movements.
The book is Behind the Black Mask, My Time as an Antifa Activist, Gabriel Nadales. I want to thank you so much. Such an important book. And God bless your parents for bringing you to this country, because, you know, it's you know, and thank God we have people like you as Americans here in this country to help set us on the right path and keep us going in the right direction. I appreciate it greatly. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.